We are live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchom. How are you doing today, Seth?
I'm good.
All right, let's jump in. We have a bunch of news this week. A little bit slower week we had, but still some interesting news. We're going to start with the self-driving value, self-driving package value. Elon had an interesting comment on that this week. He confirmed that something that he already hinted at a few times over the last few months, that Tesla is going to increase the price of the package again. So over the last year, kudos for Tesla and Musk for being more consistent with the pricing of the package. Now it's clearer that it's not going up and down all the time. They stopped like shuffling around the features between that. There was like a very weird part with the transition from enhanced autopilot to the new two packages model that we have now. That was a little bit more complicated, but now it's much more simple, and the all new features under the full self-driving package. And the price of that full self-driving package is going to increase gradually as Tesla release more feature in it and brings more value, really. So right now it's at $7,000. Also, it's the same price whether you order it before delivery or after delivery, which was also another point of confusion for a lot of people before that. So now it's $7,000, and it's going to increase by $1,000. So it's going to cost $8,000 on July 1st. But then Elon went on to make another interesting comment to basically justify the price increase. He talks about the software update, which the latest one was the stop light and stop sign and traffic light control. So I think that's the one that is justifying the price increase. But he now says that he values the full self-driving once it's actually delivered and approved by whatever regulatory bodies is going to approve that, somewhere in excess of $100,000. So this plays into what Elon has been saying for a while now, that Tesla vehicles are now appreciating assets, and instead of most cars today that are like almost like 99% of the cars are depreciating assets, unless you have like a Ford GT or something. But according to Elon, now it is an appreciating asset, and that that new $1,000 increase is part of that, because technically, if you have a car right now that you bought the FSD for $7,000 and now it's worth $8,000 on a new car, well, your used car value would be higher. Of course, I don't think that at this point right now that price increase of $1,000 compensate for the depreciation of the car in general, regardless of the software. So it's not quite the case yet, but if the rate of improvement accelerates, which I think that's what Elon is hinting at with the value of $100,000, then yes, I could see at some point that being true. Of course, there's also a difference between the calling an appreciating asset. Well, in fact, it's going to be a revenue generating asset, and people will assign more value to the car itself because it's able to generate revenue under the supposedly Tesla network rights sharing service that Elon have been talking about Tesla releasing. So yeah, what do you think, Seth? $100,000.
So Elon is making the assumption that there's absolutely no competition in the self-driving car space, and that's, you know, like, what if Waymo, Google's self-driving thing? What if Google does the same thing they did with Android, and they just give it to, you know, GM and Ford and everybody else for free, you know? And theoretically, like, when you want to drive, when you're hungry, you drive to sponsored restaurants or some weird model like that. Or, you know, more likely maybe Waymo, you know, charges, you know, $5,000, and their service is pretty, you know, similar to Tesla's. And, you know, they're also working on car sharing and ride sharing. Mm-hmm. So why would Tesla be able to sell this for in excess of $100,000 when Waymo's, you know, selling it for $10,000? So the assumption Elon's making, which, you know, he's been a little erratic lately, in my opinion, is that nobody else is going to have anything close to Tesla Autopilot. And I, you know, I I think that might be a little bit, you know, there's some ego involved there. I think Tesla is certainly in the top tier of self-driving, but I don't think that they are going to be alone necessarily. And I certainly believe that, you know, there's going to be other players. Maybe they're not as good. Maybe they're better. I don't know. Waymo is certainly doing a good job. You know, Chevy's got their, or GM's got the Cruise. There's other products out there. So I don't get where he gets the $100,000. And, you know, they've missed so many like deadlines with full self-driving. I mean, at this point, you know, it's hard to take them at face value. And they've also dropped the price. You know, the prices have been erratic over a long period of time. So it's like, for me, you know, I have a Model Y coming at some point. You know, I'm not going to get the full self-driving until there is full self-driving. And, you know, if I have to pay a ton more, then I will. But, you know, more likely, you know, I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think it's going to cost that much more. Or I'll just, you know, deal without having self-driving. Like, you know, it just, you know, I don't think Tesla has a reputation that Elon's tweets can kind of uphold. You know, obviously he's been tweeting crazy stuff about COVID and coronavirus and everything. Even before that, I don't know if I would believe any of his timetables on full self-driving. And I don't know that they're going to sell that many vehicles at $100,000 upsell for software only. You know, and as I said, especially if there's other options out there.
So. Yeah. I think we're one of the biggest difference with Waymo. Like, Waymo is like geofencing they need to map their local RV of operation in order to deliver their ride sharing service, which they already do to a degree in Arizona. So I think where Tesla has an advantage is that if Waymo delivers on similar capabilities, the capabilities will be limited to certain regions. But at the same time, while Tesla's approach is more of a general one, like once it works, it works. But it also will only work where it's regulatory approved. And I'm sure that Waymo's going to target those areas to be the system to work too. So like where they see regulators being more friendly to self-driving, they're gonna try to enter those market first. So do their mapping, do their system, everything. So yeah, I think it's a weird, like Tesla has very unique approach to their self-driving system, not just on the technology level, but also like selling the FSD package for and everything. I think there's another motive behind the announcement this week of the price increase. And that's, of course, a financial incentive that Tesla is putting out there to improve second quarter results, yep. I think. Because obviously we all know that the second quarter is going to be kind of a bloodbath with the Fremont factory bleeding money for a better part of the quarter, like a month and a half, almost 2 months. A lot of stores also not being able to operate and just having to furlough a lot of employees and everything. So it's going to be a difficult quarter. This full self-driving package offers a silver lining for Tesla where, first of all, it's a high margin product. And by telling people that they're going to charge $1,000 more, you're going to incentivize people to buy it and not just new orders, but that's a way for Tesla to get money out of the current fleet, which is easier to do in this current climate than new sales, like just new deliveries are far and few in between. So getting to the, I assume probably it's in the hundreds of thousands of people that could buy FSD right now and that haven't. So telling them that buy it now and you're going to save $1,000, that's going to influence a lot of sales. That's probably going to bring in Tesla millions of dollars by the end of the quarter. Of course, they're not recognizing all the revenue for that because they haven't delivered all the features promised behind that. But what we earned during the last quarter, the last earning call from Zach Kirkhorn, Tesla CFO, he said that half of it right now, roughly half of it is being recognized as revenue. So when Tesla sells one package, they get $3,500 right now, which is a lot of money. And the other thing too is that they have a lot of unrecognized revenue that they could recognized as they deliver more features. And with Tesla releasing more broadly the traffic light and stop sign control feature this quarter, I think that might enable them to unlock a little bit more of that revenue, which was standing at just over $600 million last quarter. So if they can get like just $100 million more out of that, that'd be a big deal for Tesla this quarter, which is going to see like their revenue down by billions. So,
yeah. And you know, to add something I forgot to say is it sounds like Tesla's thinking about a, you know, a subscription price. I kind of feel like that is going to be what most people choose, you know, because $100,000, you know, like it doesn't seem like upfront. It's like those tax medallions being, you know, $1 million. Like things can happen. You spend $100,000 and then Google comes out with the same thing for, you know, $1,000. It would just be kind of insane. So
the idea is that Google might never actually sell their self-driving system too. That's the problem though. Like Waymo seems to be targeting more like just integrating their system into fleet vehicles and then operating those fleet for ride-sharing services. While Tesla still believes in vehicle ownership long-term, I think. So,
right. And but there's others, you know, like GM's Cruise and whatever Volvo's doing and... And Mercedes has a whole thing. So it's just too big of a risk, in my opinion, at this point. For me, you know, some people have lots of money. They can, it makes sense to do it.
I think I bought it. I think it cost me a lot less when I bought it. I think when I bought it, it was like $4,000.
So here's the other thing. Like, it doesn't stick with your car. I mean, it sticks with your car. It doesn't stick with you. So if you get a new car, you got to buy it again.
Yeah, that's another issue. If you're leasing, it makes like very little sense to buy it.
It makes no sense if you're leasing. If you're, I mean, I could have bought it on my leased Model X, and that thing's going back, and I would have gotten nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. Like in the 3 years that they've been promising it, zero has come out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that to me is kind of just like.
And then there's some. So, well, if you sell it used, and then there's value to that, it should increase the value technically of the car. But Tesla should maybe try to clarify the situation there, because there's been some reports of them like removing the self-driving after the car was resold and things like that. So, like selling it twice on the car, that's a bad look for that, and like that muddies the aftermarket for those cars, the used market. So
right. And then what happens if you total the car? Do you have to pay for it again, even if it's the same car that you're just replacing, you know, the hardware versus the software?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks around that. All right, next news. Tesla started releasing a new software update this week, 2020.20. And it's a small one, but still interesting one. The main feature that's been released is Fallout Shelter. Have you heard about that game, Fred? Do your kids play that game?
Yeah, so my kids are excited about it. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, so I've never been a big mobile gamer, so I've known about Fallout Shelter, but I never played it. But I'm a big fan of the Fallout series on consoles games. On video game consoles, so maybe I'll check it out once it gets inside the Tesla, but I'm not gonna download it on my mobile. But yeah, it's a new video game that Tesla has been working with Bethesda to integrate it inside Tesla vehicle for a while. And yeah, you use the touchscreen. It's like a survival game in the universe of Fallout, which is like a nuclear post-apocalyptic game. Few other updates in 2020.20. You have a theater mode update, which basically just had steering wheel playback control to your steering wheel, so you can pause with the steering wheel and everything. Kind of useful.
Does that mean soon you'll be able to do that while you're driving?
Yeah, you would assume that adding it to the steering wheel normally is to not have to get your hands off the wheel to control, but since theater mode is only available when the car is in park, that doesn't sound as useful. But yeah, yeah, I don't think this is in the plan anytime soon. I mean, there's some precedent for it. Like, I don't know if they still do that, but when they first released it, they were doing it. Have you ever tried the car karaoke thing that they have?
Yeah.
So in that, technically, because they show the lyrics on the screen, it's not ideal to be driving while using it. But then they let you know that they give you a warning that you can still play it while driving, but it's confirms that only the passengers are playing, which is kind of a right. weird thing. So a similar system could be released as a, okay, just if you use Tesla Theater for Netflix or whatever, or only the passenger are watching, but that's such a dangerous game to play here.
Right. And like, theoretically, you don't want to be changing the signals because you would be watching the screen as you're, fast forwarding or rewinding or whatever from the
So I think it's still more for a self-driving future and just a quick feature that Tesla could add that's can be a bit useful. Last update was to the Tracks app, which is like sort of Tesla's in-car music studio that they have. Now they added a piano roll view that allows to edit and fine-tune notes on a track. So if I've never actually used the Tracks from the car.
My son loves it.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's not like, Apple Logic or even GarageBand, but it's just a fun little thing to play with.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tesla has so many features now that they're adding that it's to the point that even me, which is like a giant fan who's been following closely everything that Tesla releases, and I cannot even use them all at this point. Like, it's too much.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get into the business side a little bit of things with a few news items, starting with Gigafactory 1, Gigafactory Nevada now. I went back to calling it Gigafactory 1 with that article. There was a report with Panasonic releasing their first quarter earnings this week, and they commented on the project that they have with Tesla Gigafactory Nevada, and they said that they actually made money that last quarter at the factory, which is good news for both Tesla and Panasonic, because that has been a problem that has been putting some pressure on the relationship between the two. And Tesla has always been putting some pressure on Panasonic to reduce the cost of the battery cells that they produce there and that Tesla buys for the Model 3 and on Model Y. So the Panasonic has had issue actually being profitable with the project. But they announced that for January through March, they actually made money, which sort of reignited their interest in the project. And now they are looking at maybe investing again in it. So they are considering making that expansion to produce 54 gigawatt hour or so battery cell at the factory, which would help Tesla ramp with the production ramp up of the Model Y, of course. So exciting possibility. Nothing set in stone just yet. But I mean, that's one of the main questions people have always been asking me since I've been like leading a lot of the reporting around Tesla's battery production effort with the Roadrunner project and everything. And they are like, what does that mean for Tesla and Panasonic? And my view is that Tesla and Panasonic will remain partner for the foreseeable future. I mean, the Tesla, regardless of how Roadrunner goes, even if it goes perfectly, I think they're still going to need a ton of battery cell. And that's why we see them also like partnering with CATL now. Like they are doing like a similar Panasonic partnership that they had, but with CATL on top of the Roadrunner project, on top of also buying cell from LG Chem. So like everyone is trying to get as many cells as they can here, and Tesla is no exception. So if they can keep like their good relationship with Panasonic, they will. But yeah, Tesla's was super, well, not Tesla, but Panasonic was, when Tesla first announced Gigafactory Nevada, they were talking about 100 gigawatt hour of battery cell production. So we're still not quite there. I think Panasonic would probably need like another $1 billion into the factory to get there. But it sounds like now they're actually considering, upping their investment, which hasn't been the case for over a year at this point.
What do you think about Gigafactory in Nevada, just generally speaking? They've kind of stopped expanding. You know, the solar panels are going up a little bit, but like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of movement there. What's going on, you think?
That's a good question. I mean, my view and my understanding from talking to a few people that work there is that they focused mainly in the last 2 years on optimization. They were like, all right, we got this giant capacity here, but they felt like it wasn't optimized. So they did that. On top of it, I think Tesla ran into some hiring issues. Not just Tesla, but Panasonic too ran into some hiring issues, just because it's a factory in the middle of the desert, with Reno being the biggest town closest to the factory, and it's not that big of a town. What's their motto? Like the biggest, smallest big biggest, town?
The biggest little town and whatever.
Yeah.
The biggest. Although they are growing like crazy.
Yeah. But
I agree. Like, they're probably running out of like skilled workforce there.
Yeah. And a lot of people were happy about like just moving out of California and going to work there and everything. Like, I think like GB Strubel now lives there like most of the time too. Even if he's not at Tesla, I think he's moving his Redwood materials there. So it's like it's a good place to do business for a lot of people. They like it, and it's cheaper to live there. But yeah, I think it's stalled the expansion, but we've still been hearing that at least some part of the Tesla Semi construction manufacturing is going to happen there. So that could reignite some of the expansion at Gigafactory Nevada, which, I mean, Tesla Semi is going to be a big product for Tesla. Like, it is... right now, I don't see anything on the market like it, or not just on the market, because Tesla Semi is not on the market either at this point. But with even like, it's disappointing that it's been delayed for 2 years at this point. But I think it's been delayed because Tesla has made some crazy improvement with the Roadrunner project, and they think like, oh, we can make the Tesla Semi like leaps and bounds better than anything on the market if we wait for the Roadrunner cells. And that's part of the delay. That, and of course, like, Tesla has limited bandwidth, and it's a big deal to launch a production of a brand new product line like a Semi truck is. But like, I've been following the Tesla Semi team like relatively closely, and who's working on it and everything. And Tesla still has a big team working on that of engineers that have experience building semi trucks, not electric ones, of course, but now they are focused on that. So I think it's like people think that because of the delays, Tesla is not really focused on that, which to a degree is true, but I think they still have big plans for it. So if it does happen and Tesla like start producing like, let's say, 50,000 semi trucks a year there, we're talking about giant production capacity, giant needed expansion at the factory and everything. So there's still a lot of hopes for the region in regards to Tesla. All right, moving to China, Tesla started deliveries for the Model 3 long range rear wheel drive, which was the first Model 3 available for people that remember. First one that went in production in Fremont, and then was discontinued as Tesla preferred to keep the long-range battery pack just for the dual-motor powertrain. But for the Chinese market, they thought it was a good opportunity to bring back the configuration, and now it's in production, and it's being delivered. And they were talking about a crazy range for it when they first announced it. They were like, oh, it's going to have 600 kilometers of range, over 400 miles of range, but I don't understand exactly how it works in China on that front. Like, apparently they can still use the NEDC standard for some reason, even though we know that it's hardly accurate. But the actual EPA range when Tesla was selling the long range rear-wheel drive was 325 miles or 523 kilometers. So I think that's probably more accurate of the real world range of that, the newest version of the car. And sure enough, in the video announcement that the delivery started, I grabbed a quick screenshot of the display, and it shows what appears to be pretty much a full battery and with 515 kilometers of range. So I'm going to believe that over the NEDC standard for sure.
Right.
But and that's good range. I mean, cannot complain with 500 kilometers of range. That's 500 kilometers in a day of of travel, like once nonstop, it's it's a long time to be on your butt. Gigafactory Shanghai too. We also heard some words from Tesla's vice president of China, Tao Lin, and we already learned that Tesla was aiming for like mid 2020 to reach 4,000 Model 3s per week at the factory. But now, according to the executive, it's going to happen as soon as next month in June. So that's going to bring the total production capacity to 200,000 electric cars, which is pretty massive for something that was like, it was like a field a little over a year ago. But yeah, the other interesting news, we have more precise timing on the Model Y production at Gigafactory Shanghai for Q1 of 2021. So it's going to happen quite fast. I mean, within a year of delivery starting in the US. So that's if you're familiar with Tesla's vehicle launch and all the spread out per markets, normally for Tesla to go from your US launch to an international launch in Europe and in China, normally it takes more than a year. So it's going to be the quickest one with the Model Y, despite the fact that Tesla is apparently doesn't plan to export the Model Y from Fremont factory, and the vehicles are only going to be launched in markets when they're produced in those markets. So in Europe with Gigafactory Berlin and in China with Gigafactory Shanghai. And we shared some drone videos that people posted this week of the factory, and it's been going up pretty fast. I mean this picture that we have here right now, it was of the main plant, and right now there's a ton of buildings around it as Tesla is expanding. So very very exciting stuff. Going back to Fremont, though, Tesla was officially allowed to restart production this week after the whole debacle for the last few weeks of starting this despite authorization, and then agreeing that the state gave the authorization but not the county, and blah blah blah. But the county actually approved Tesla's plant on May 18, as it was official, was supposed to be like a few weeks ago. So now it changed the situation for Tesla and the Tesla employees in Fremont, where they are officially allowed to start production. Sorry. And Tesla is allowed to call back employees to work. And at first, we were kind of arguing that it's not completely right to call back to because Tesla was warning employees, if you don't come back to work last week, you might lose your unemployment benefits, which is the case if you don't want to work, like you don't get your unemployment. However, it was kind of a weird situation because they were also asking the employees to violate an order from the local county when doing that. So that doesn't look good. But now that they have the authorization for local county, they are not violating the order anymore. So it's a different case here. But Tesla is still offering employees to go on unpaid leave if they still don't feel like they don't feel comfortable going to work. And a lot of employees aren't, apparently. We posted a report yesterday that was from SF Weekly that interviewed a few Tesla employees that were protesting the going back to work because they didn't feel like Tesla was implementing the new safety guidance efficiently, I assume. Like it's they say that there was no really social distancing, and we even got pictures of employees that showed that they are on the factory line, and they are certainly not 6 feet apart. They're like a foot apart, really. But I mean, that's almost inevitable with the assembly line, the general assembly line. You're on top of each other, like putting thing on the cars and everything. So I don't see how they can get around that. But my understanding is like, if they are wearing a mask though, and like gloves, even if you're not like 6 feet apart, that's not a big, that doesn't make a difference, right?
I mean, I don't know. If you're there all day, you cough, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, 6 feet is not, there's no like science that you know, at 5 feet, you're totally dead, and at seven feet, you're perfectly safe. Like, you know, like fans, like there's lots of variables there. But you know, that those are the CDC guidelines. So I feel like Tesla should probably make some efforts or say, look, you're working in a, you know, a tight quarters, maybe you should get a couple more bucks per hour or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not gonna make anybody who gets sick happy, obviously, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what you do in this case, because, you know, car assembly lines weren't built with the, you know, COVID era in mind. So you can't just rejigger an assembly line really quickly. And at the same time, you need to start making cars. So don't know. Don't have an answer.
Yeah. And of course, Tesla is working with the experience from Shanghai too. And, which has been apparently working quite smoothly despite the new measures following the pandemic. But I don't know. Yep.
A lot of people say, like, well, Tesla, you know, figured it out in Shanghai, and so they should be able to figure it out in California. I would argue that the external factors are a lot different in China that mm-hmm. than in the US. So, out, you know, in China, like, they're doing contact tracing. They were doing it a long time ago. They, you know, if somebody had it, they go to every single person that guy communicated with or was within 6 feet of, and those people all get tested. They were doing mandatory testing where they, you know, like, they sit in front of an apartment building. If you go in, you get tested. It's a totally different kind of situation than, you know, California, which is, you know, I would say on the better side of the US, but, like, you know, you have all these people who refuse to wear masks, for instance, or, you know, the open everything, which, you know, Elon Musk is obviously one of those people. I just don't think it's apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, that's fair, I assume. Especially, but my point was more also about not even with the external factors, with the factory in Shanghai being newer, Tesla implementing some what they learned from the other factories in Fremont and in Nevada. The actual workflow might be better in Shanghai too than like what they scrapped up together in Fremont for years. Like, so that could help Shanghai too versus Fremont. I think Tesla is also employing a lot more people in Fremont than it is in Shanghai. Because one of the main concerns with Fremont was like getting people on buses, because they have some issues with the parking lot there. So they have to shuttle people. So, and of course, public transport right nowadays is one of the main sources of propagation of the COVID-19.
Yep.
All right. Moving on from Tesla, we have some GM news this week. Well, news, it's more like posted a few pictures. And I am curious to have your opinion on that, because you're one of the few people that actually saw that the prototype of that truck earlier this year. So the GMC Hummer EV, that's the electric pickup that GM is going to release next year. We haven't seen it. No one has seen the whole thing yet, other than a few journalists at GM's EV Day earlier this year. But now they released the first images of the interior of the truck, and it looks pretty cool. It reminds me a little bit of the Cybertruck. If you look inside the Cybertruck, it's super glass everywhere. And we see that it has a glass top, and the GM says that it's an open top, so you can remove the glass panels to get an open top feel for the GMC Hummer EV. And they also shared this quick video here where you get a bird's eye view of the vehicle. You can really barely see it, really. It's just from really afar, so it doesn't tell us much. It's really, really a teaser from from GM here. Can you add anything on that, since you've seen the vehicle?
Yeah, so that's accurate. When we did report on the EV Day, which, like, man, it would have been nice if we could just like, snuck in a camera, because like it's really hard to put into words, and maybe I should have, like, you know, snuck a couple photos and then gone to our arts department and had them like build a mock up from that. But you know, obviously that's accurate. We described it at the time as like, if you took the original Hummer, not the Hummer 2 or the 3 or anything mm-hmm. like that, which, you know, Hummers have, you know, a soft top or a hard top. They're used kind of like Jeeps were used. So if you took that original Hummer and you kind of updated it for the EV era, that's kind of what you're getting. The interior reminded me a lot of the Bollinger.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it's this like, squared away stuff. Yeah, it's like you know, just go look at the Bollinger inside. So, you know, I think it's going to be incredibly popular, especially with people who have quite a bit of money to spend on a you know, flashy vehicle.
Yeah, I mean the Hummer wasn't cheap. The gasoline one, I
No.
guess the gasoline was it a diesel? It was probably a diesel truck, right?
I think it was actually gas. At least the
Really?
H2 was. I don't know about the
Yeah.
one.
So yeah, it was already an expensive truck to start with. So I wouldn't be surprised if GM is going with the higher end of the market here with this one, especially
Yeah.
with the numbers we've been hearing for GM. I mean volume numbers, not pricing numbers. We haven't heard anything about the pricing, but GM is not aiming for a high volume EV production anytime soon, so that car is coming out late next year.
Well, we'll see, but yeah, that's when it's supposed to come out.
Yeah, so
And it's going to be one of the first with GM's new battery system. And it's going to, I think it's around 200 kilowatt hours of battery.
yeah, okay, yeah,
So,
it's gonna be expensive.
yeah, it's not going to be cheap. I mean, you know, it's basically going to try to defend against the Cybertruck at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, the Cybertruck would supposedly start at $40,000. If that thing start at less than $80,000, I'd be pleasantly surprised.
Right.
All right, Mazda, they started production of the MX-30, their first all-electric vehicle, and I couldn't be less excited about it. I like the truck, the car's design is cool. I think I always like Mazda's design, so and this one is no exception. I don't mind the suicide doors too. Like I know a lot of people hate them. Like I'm okay with suicide doors for like smaller vehicles. This is a small SUV, but why I'm not excited about this is that it's obviously a compliance car from Mazda. Like they're not. It's not a real vehicle program for them. They don't care if it makes money or not. It's there to avoid them large fines in Europe, and that's why it's only available in Europe.
Right.
I mean the specs are like it's gonna be super hard to come in like 200 kilometers, 124 miles of range on the WLTP standard. So that thing's gonna
Which,
barely get 100 miles of range.
right.
80%.
Yeah, I mean, so suicide doors basically means you can never drop off your kids at school because, you know, when they get out, they have to open the front door and the back door. So, like, that means it's not really for families with kids, so that eliminates a huge chunk of the population. You know, it look like
Looks
if you look at it,
good.
looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it
Like
does.
it's kind of high off the ground. But like that kind of car, that kind of looks like a road trip car, and you can only go 100 miles in it, and so that's not a road trip car.
Yeah.
So what? Who is this aimed towards? Like I don't know the market.
It has to be super cheap. We don't know the price yet, but I think because when it starts selling like later this year, like they're gonna have to get people to buy that over like over the Model 3, over the Chevy Bolt, over the Model Y, over the Kona, over the like so many options that seems better spec
Way
wise.
better. Way
So
better and have been out for years.
yeah, so I feel like unless they sell that thing for like $30,000 before incentive. And even then, I'm telling you, like, unless like this fits your needs like perfectly, then sure, like it's an EV. You're gonna convert some gas mileage to electric mileage, and that's what we're all about. But other than that, like, I would suggest you have better options out there because, first of all, you're encouraging the compliance sales from Mazda, which I'm not a big fan of. And I think there's just gonna be, unless they really surprise us with the price, there's gonna be better option out there. But yeah, if it's like you get it for, I mean, it's not even going to be launched in the US, but let's say it was launching in the US at $30,000 and you can get it for like 20, like less than 25,000 after incentive, then yeah, it might make sense for as a city car. It's not too big. It still has some SUV features to it. And with incentive, like it adds up, but it's a hard sell to me for me.
Yeah, so you know, we've talked about this before, like Mazda, like the car that they should convert to EV is the Miata, right? Like everybody kind of agrees with that, or the what is it, the MX-30 is what they call it in Europe.
Yep. No,
So
this is the
but
MX-30.
or sorry, what is the European or the European name for the Miata.
I have no clue.
Anyway, so like, why not take that same size battery, put it in a Miata? It's half the weight, you know, half the size. Mm. You get double the range or so, you know, like close to 200 miles. And you've got a car that actually, like, you know, kids can't get in the back of this car without, or get out of the back of this car without, you know, somebody else opening the front door. Nobody with kids is going to want this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that kind of car, why not do a Miata? Two-seater. Yeah,
which is already a weekend car for a lot of people. So,
yeah.
MX-5, nobody thank you on YouTube. It's the MX-5 in Europe.
Right. It's just, man, just so frustrating. Like, who's running the show here?
Well, I mean, not to make it like a racial thing, but it's definitely a cultural thing to a degree. Like, in Japan, all the Japanese automakers are just not sold on EV at all for some reason.
Right, and half of them are still trying to do hydrogen.
Yeah, and I mean, Nissan was an early player, but then something happened where they slowed down the transition like nothing before. I mean, the Nissan Leaf, like the Nissan, it blows my mind. I want to sit down with Carlos Ghosn and ask him like what happened there, because
that would be a fun interview.
Yeah, because they had the Nissan Leaf on the market. You could buy one back in 2011. You could buy one. That's right. 9 years. Almost a decade ago. And to this day, Nissan doesn't have another EV on its lineup. It has a dozen other cars. No other all-electric one.
I mean, they do the NB200 in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, that's a commercial van. Like, it's not.
Right.
So it's, and also that was also released like years ago. So it's strange. And then you have Toyota that also doesn't have any all-electric car except for one in China for purely compliance reasons too. You have Mitsubishi doesn't have an all-electric car, but they do have the Outlander. Subaru doesn't have an all-electric car. So weird. Strange. All right. Quick news on the Ford Mustang Mach-E. For a while now, we kept pestering Ford about, like, well, like, give us an update on the Mach-E. Is it delayed or not with the COVID-19 pandemic? And they were always, let's wait until we restart production, and then we're going to tell you what's going to happen. And they restarted production this week. No, not of the Mach-E, of course, but like all their manufacturing facilities, which of course is going to contribute to making the Mach-E later this year. And they said that they're still aiming for late 2020 in the U.S. I think originally it was October. They wanted to have cars in dealership in October in the U.S. But they confirmed that it's going to be delayed in Europe, which is surprising to me, because there was rumors actually like Ford's going to concentrate orders in Europe in 2020 to comply with the latest emission standards. So kudos on Ford. Like, not it really shows that the Mach-E is not a compliance program, but they actually want that car to be a full fledged vehicle program for them. So
yeah,
I mean, it's not. I'm saying kudos. It's not good news. I think like that the vehicle is still delayed, but I mean, it shows something, I think.
And we've been seeing some testing going on the streets in Detroit. We've been getting some images of people, you know, seeing Mach-E's drive by. So it's still happening.
Like, yeah.
So.
Yeah, they've been testing it continuously through the pandemic. We reported before on like the engineers, they went home with the cars and everything. But yeah, that's about it for us for the news. We're going to go into the questions now. We forgot to say, but like, if you do have like a question, actually, like you want us to answer, it's not, because I see a lot of comments right now, but it's a lot of back and forth between people. So if you can do like question and then go with your question so we can spot them, that would be appreciated for the question that you can enter right now. But we're still going to go through some of the comments too, since we forgot to say that in the first place.
All right. Devil Friend says, what's your outlook for EVs in Latin America in 2021? I noticed VW will be updating factories for EV production around the world, except for their Brazil and Argentina factories.
That's an interesting point. Actually, I haven't followed the EV market a lot in Latin America. My understanding is that it's not very popular yet there. I think Nissan has released the Leaf in a few markets in Latin America, but it's very limited. I think that's the case also for other cars too. Like they get the cars later there, just in general. So I think the EV revolution is going to happen later there too. But
does Tesla have
nothing? Nothing south of Mexico, I think.
Right.
Yeah, Elon's been talking about Brazil, like going to Brazil at some point, relatively soon. I think it would make sense. I mean, there's some large markets in Brazil. But Tesla also has, like, for a while now was only like a luxury vehicles until recently, where you can buy it for like a decent price, then like the lower end version of the Model 3. So there's a lot of markets I think Tesla is waiting to have cheaper options to get in, because it's expensive to get into another market. And if you get into another market just to sell your low margin cars, then like it's not attractive to them. That's a problem.
Right. All right, let's go to the next question. Hi. We were talking about Waymo. Waymo's too much money regarding full self-driving. Jose says, Tesla should have some kind of exhibit or demo to fully show full self-driving. Hard to sell this when no one has actually really seen it in action in real life.
Yeah. I've been hammering Tesla back in the day when they actually had PR people in charge of Autopilot, which was like years ago. I kept telling them, like, you guys should, like, because of their model of selling the software before its release, you guys have a responsibility to communicate the development with the consumer. Like, I felt that very strongly, and Tesla didn't feel exactly the same. At least it never actually made it to. Yeah, they release a few videos, like once every 2 years they release like a self-driving video, but I think they should increase that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, just for publicity. And Andy Towers says, brings up the coast-to-coast drive, which was, I think, 2017? Was that right?
That's 2018? One of the two. Either way, yeah, so, way past. So
that was kind of promised and never happened. Mm-hmm. And those are the kind of things that when Elon says, hey, better buy in now, I'm like, I don't think so. Like, I'm going to wait till I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Have Stephen Hunter says, have your sources told you anything to confirm or discredit the claim of full self-driving already in Model 3s? The hardware's there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he means by that. If you can clarify, Stefan, we'll look into it. But, I mean, Tesla claims that the hardware is there and it is technically there. Like what they claim is there. There's some dispute whether that will actually ever enable full self-driving. But in terms of the software, Tesla does have development cars that have more advanced software running with full self-driving, but it's not in cars in other fashion than that, not in consumer cars.
And Andy Towers says price increase announced now to incentivize people on the fence to buy now.
Yeah, we went into that.
If you're on the fence, that's certainly an incentive.
Yeah.
Don't talk about the illness today. All right. What are your theories on energy density for battery day? I don't know if that density is going to be the big story.
I think there's going to be. My understanding is there's going to be an improvement, but it's going to be more incremental than anything else. It's not going to be like the breakthrough feature of it. I think breakthrough feature is longevity and custom manufacturing. Those are the breakthrough features.
Right. And costs coming down and because of that. All right. Kobe Kass says, just got an email saying my Model Y will probably be here mid to late June. That's good news.
Yeah. I think Tesla's going to try to deliver a ton of Model Y next month. It's going to be a little,
you know, less. I got a, my lease is up in August. Mm-hmm. So I got an email about that and I was like, can you make sure my Model Y kind of coincides with that? And of course, Tesla said, we can't do that, but we'll see. Going down, green gold. Do you think Tesla will license their new battery technology?
No, I don't think so.
Doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I think he's just going to try to produce as much as they can and use all of that, and then maybe eventually that will outpace their need in cars and stationary energy product. But I don't see that happening in the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, full self driving isn't worth it yet. Okay. It doesn't exist yet. So
yeah.
Used to play Fallout Shelter years ago. Big Fallout fan.
New Vegas is awesome. I love New Vegas.
Although I like full self-driving now, it likely will be a necessity in maybe 10 years. I agree with everything you guys are saying about it, though. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, so much potential for FSD. So if Tesla is right, it's going to be a giant deal. But and I prefer Tesla's approach to anybody else right now in terms of the technology. Say, and you cannot, like, with their use of machine learning, the exponential improvement could surprise a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. So Zach said a super sticker. Thank you, Zach.
Not sure what that is. Thank you anyway.
Team Hummer. So John Palumbo is definitely on the Hummer bandwagon, which, I mean, looking at the car, it's going to be pretty tempting. Like, it's a pretty cool car.
How do you park that thing, though?
Well, I mean, how do you park anything, really, like that big? Andrew Cool says Tesla owns you. Okay.
All right. I'll argue otherwise, but okay.
Good to know. John Palumbo, thank God for the Cybertruck. It'll make the Hummer look mainstream and is now the new compensating vehicle. LOL. So compensating, I believe, is that there's a general feeling that if you have a huge truck, it's compensating for some other lacking that you have.
But you're saying that the Cybertruck will become that or the Hummer? Because the Hummer was that for sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess they're probably both in that area.
Yeah.
It's about the batteries. Let's see. Will the battery developments change Powerwall?
Yeah, I did. I did report a few weeks ago on the new battery that Tesla was filing a patent on, and it was a new version of the million mile cells, but more specifically for energy storage. So yeah, the Tesla is still thinking about that too, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so what does that million miles mean? It means that instead of a 10-year warranty on a Powerwall, maybe you get a 20-year warranty or...
Exactly, yeah.
Or unlimited.
Because we talk about miles, but really it cycles for either ones of them, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Gigafactory Nevada, not enough people to hire. That's kind of what our consensus there. Reno is a pretty big city, but 250K is not... I mean, I guess it depends where you live, but you know, I grew up in a 250K city, and that was kind of podunk.
Yeah.
I think Sparks is constrained by workforce. Yep. Wondering if you read Omar's. Oh, hey, this is.
We're not gonna get into that again. I posted on, go to my Twitter if you want my response to it. I posted a PDF where I notated his article, which was just full of lies and misrepresentation. I had to stop halfway through because he was just lying too much and I couldn't take it anymore.
All right. Moving on. Let's see. Let's get
it. Doesn't put any needed context.
All right. Seth seems confused, stating that the value of FSD is 100,000. Doesn't mean that they
won't. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's fair. I wanted to bring that up. I remember. He said the value of it is going to be $100,000, but I don't think he's saying that the price is ever going to be $100,000. So, like, they want people to have, like, higher value in it. Like, maybe it's going to be, like, $30,000 on top of the price of the car, and then the people will have to put their car to work on the Tesla network in order for them to gain the value of it.
To reap that $100,000
value. Yeah. So I think that's a fair point. So, like, the vehicle will still be somewhat accessible to buy. Like, you can buy, like, a $40,000 Model 3 with the option of full self-driving. It's become a $70,000 car, which is expensive, but it's not. Like, if it's full self-driving, it's actually not that expensive.
All right. Da Vinci says, I, for one, wish Elon would stop making full self-driving promises.
Yeah, show progress. Stop talking about timeline. Just show the progress. And that, I think that's the thing that we've been talking about. Like, Tesla's been liking and showing the progress, even though there is. And when they release a new feature, we see the progress. But I'm talking about, like, release, like, commit to, like, every month release a new, like, video from one of the development car that runs the latest software. Something like that. That would be exciting for people, I think.
Yeah. So Johnny B's asking about the vehicle to grid capability. There was, like, contradictory. Like, the one engineer thought that the diodes were actually transistors and that they were reverse engineerable, or sorry, power could go both ways. And then the other engineer was like, no, these are diodes and you can't go backwards, so the vehicle to grid doesn't work. Where did we end up on that?
Yeah, it looks likely that the original engineer, like we talked to Marco Galaxia, which is the he performed the part. It was part of the reverse engineering of the Model 3 at Ford, and based on his analysis, it seemed like it was vehicle to grid possible. But then Phil Sadow, Engineerix on YouTube, did his own analysis, and it was contradictory to Marco's, and Marco's now appears to agree with Phil. So yeah, it sounds like that was wrong.
All right. So Gukwapanzi, looks like the union mongers are fanning the flame at the Tesla factory again. Unions have become like mafias over the last 20 years.
Over the last 20 years?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, there's definitely a mafia influence, you know, historically speaking, in unions. That said, like, you know,
there's real concerns too. Like,
yeah, I mean, the reason workers unionize is because they don't feel like they're being treated fairly. You know, Tesla has paid their workers, I think, pretty good as far as auto workers are concerned. Unfortunately, like the Bay Area, prices are quite expensive to live there. So, you know, if you factor that in, then it becomes questionable. I don't know if the UAW would do any better. Certainly, Elon doesn't want union to be part of the show there. Vehicle to grid for the win, then wireless charging. All right. Corona situation in the UK is unprecedented. Okay. Long-term time spent in a small place, like at home or nursing home, has shown to be most contagious. I don't think the factory qualifies as this. There goes our not talking about the
when we're talking about people not social distancing inside the factory, I think.
Right. All right. We're getting kind of conversational here. The Hummer was diesel. H2 was gas and diesel, I believe. Okay. That's a kind of a helper there. Green Gold says everyone's EVs are jokes besides Tesla.
Disagree. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Taycan, for instance, as Andy says, is...
It's not a joke. Certainly not a joke.
Right.
And I've been talking to a few owners this week, and people are very happy with it.
It's a great car.
Yeah.
I'm still like glowing from my ride and, you know, like months ago. All right. More conversation. Let's see. Can we talk about? Okay. Johnny B, maybe that disturbing prototype automatic snake-like charging thing that Tesla showed a few years ago will actually become a thing. With the virus, that's true. That would be nice to not have to touch the supercharger cables, although the latest CDC guidelines seem to indicate that surface touching isn't a big vector. It's mostly air. Andy wants wireless charging. So Gukwapanzi has a question. If Tesla built the new Giga Terra factory in Austin, Texas, how will they transport the vehicles to the East Coast? Is there a railroad or a port nearby?
There's plenty of railroads.
Yeah, the railroads are kind of thick over there.
Yeah.
At both of the proposed sites that we saw near Austin, they both have trains like running right alongside the property. I'm sure that's, you know, part of the equation. As far as like delivering Model 3s, I had to wait because my Model 3 was like, you know, at a train depot in Atlanta. Something bad happened to it. It had to be supercharged, so I got charged for the supercharging they did in Atlanta on the train thing. So they're definitely Tesla definitely uses trains to move vehicles. Your newer stream software seems to be way better than the previous one. Congrats on that. Well, thank you. Subscription service is best. I think that's referring to the full self-driving, pay as you go. I agree. And like, what if I only want it for like a long trip somewhere? Like it would be nice to be able to buy it for like a week, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Fashionably late on coast to coast. Okay. That's an example of Elon time maybe. let's see. All right. We're getting toward the end. A perfect demo of auto park summon would be if employee cars could automatically park themselves at Fremont factory. Unfortunately, most Fremont factory workers do not have yeah. Teslas themselves.
There's a lot of them, though. Like, you see it on picture of the parking lots. There's definitely hundreds, but there's thousands of people there. So, it's not... That's not the problem.
You know, it's still a high-value car, mm-hmm. even so. So, with the Cybertruck full self-driving deposit and the 1,000 increase, will deposit holders be affected? I believe so.
Those are just reservation. They're not orders yet, so... You don't lock in the price of the options. We don't even know the price of the options other than self-driving.
All right. New Vegas is fun when it doesn't crash the old Xbox. Do you think the Model Y price drop once all the other automaker release SUV like the ID4?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition in the small SUV crossover segment with all electric vehicles. I mean, I think electric vehicles, first of all, will just take over that segment. And then there's going to be a lot of competition between those with the Audi e-tron Q4, Model Y, Mercedes as one, then you have the Mach-E from Ford, and I think it's going to go down market from there. So yeah, maybe Tesla's going to release a cheaper version at one point.
I think Tesla will continuously iterate and trim prices as they find efficiencies. Remember, the goal is to increase sales more so than mega profits. Yeah. So kind of what you said. Mm-hmm. So I think this guy means Tulsa, Oklahoma. So maybe we should talk a little bit about...
Because it happened during the last show, so we didn't really discuss it, I think. But yeah, what happened on the last show is that it's happening in Austin or around Austin, whatever you want to say. I thought the deal was pretty much went through, but apparently it's not completely done, though it's still happening there. It's just like it's not finalized, if you will, and Tesla still wants some leverage for finalizing the deal. So they leaked out this. We're still looking at Tulsa, which is not a complete lie because they went to Tulsa just a week or two ago. But now the problem is that just bolt, like, then people in Tulsa went crazy, and now they are all like trying to get Tesla to come with like paintings of their monuments and having those drives and everything. But I think, unfortunately, they're getting played right now, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you know, I don't want to divulge too much about your source because I don't know much about your source, but like, it sounded like they were already making plans. Tesla was.
Yeah, they told the procurement teams that they were going to do the engineering there and everything to start looking at contractors for Austin and everything. So, like, it sounds like a done deal to me.
I mean, it seems like it's a done deal, but they want to have an out, I guess, or if something happens.
My suspicion is they might already have the deal with Austin itself or the greater Austin area. The county, Weaver is going to make the deal with them to make the factory happen. But they might not have a deal like with Texas itself, and Tesla might be trying to leverage going to Texas to have direct sell legislation change so that they can more easily sell their cars in Texas. So that might be it. I don't know.
Will Tesla make battery cells and pack at the Tesla factory?
All we have right now was the Model Y by the end of the year that it was aiming for general assembly. There's nothing right now about batteries and pack, but I would assume that it's likely in the future, but further down the road.
All right, Zach says, if Cybertruck was ready, Model X or Cybertruck for SpaceX NASA astronaut vehicle, I think you got to go with the Cybertruck, right?
I don't know. The Falcon Wings doors, yeah. I think for the mission later this month, they only have two astronauts there. So one on each side of the Falcon Wing doors. The Falcon Wing doors open. You see the astronaut come out. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
I like the visual of it.
Yeah, maybe it'll have some smoke coming out of the back or something. All right. I think we're almost done. Nanda Hull says, saw and heard my first Taycan today. It has a subtle presence, a whiny pull away. It was a thrill. Still can't justify even putting one on a short list. But would be fun to Turo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it is expensive.
Yep.
Porsche is definitely coming down market, though. So, and I think a rear-wheel drive version is on the way. And we know a four-wheel drive Macan is also coming soon. So,
yeah, exciting stuff from Porsche. But that's it for us today. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone, and watching on YouTube. And apparently, we're also live on LinkedIn today. So if you're watching to that, thanks for watching. I'm not sure. You can give us a thumbs up and a subscribe on YouTube. We have more videos coming soon. Also, you can give us, if you like the show, you can give us 5 stars on reviews on your podcast app. That's also super useful. And we're going to see you same place, same time next week. Have a good one, guys.